if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we will help you to go to the US through a 510K. But for that, you have to choose your predicate device and we'll help you to understand everything about predicate device. It's a term that is used well in the US. We have some equivalent term that is used also in Europe. And we'll try to help you navigate through all this and to really understand what is a predicate device and how to choose that. And for that, I have with me Beat Keller from IMT in the US, in Switzerland. that will help us to and share with us his knowledge and his experience about 510K. So Beat, welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Thank you for the invitation, Mounir, and hello, audience.
Exactly. So
nice to be here.
Beat, as said, you had some experience on this, and I hope we can really answer all those questions and give some feedback to the people that are listening and help them to choose the real predicate device. But before I dip on the question, so can you just make a small introduction of yourself?
Yeah, my name is Beat Keller. I'm working for IMT, that's an engineering and consultancy company in Switzerland. So what we do is we develop medical devices for different manufacturers, and we support them then in certification, registering the medical devices in different countries. And we also already helped some of our customers registering the device in the US, respectively, getting the 510K clearance.
Exactly.
Which is the correct term in the US.
Exactly. Yeah, there is a difference with clearance. What is the other terms? Because there are different terms that you can use for that.
Yeah, so for the 510K, it's a clearance and the PMA is an approval.
Exactly. Yeah. So because people are misusing sometimes those terms and
no registering or licensing, whatever is seen in the world out there in the internet, it's a PMA approval or a 510K clearance.
Exactly. And as we said, for a 510K, there is this term that is important, which is called predicate device. I wanted maybe for people that have no clue what we are talking about, maybe to have a first kind of definition of what this is and why we need that mainly.
Yeah. So the predicate device is a device we compare our new device we want to get cleared to that device. So this is the way it works for 510K in the US, which is the main way to get a device on the market. It's mainly the class 2 devices, but there are also some class 1 and 3 devices which require a 510K. And the idea is, if we have a 510K device or a predicate device already on market, which was once approved or cleared by the FDA, it must be safe and working. So if we could show that we are the same and we do the same, it should be safe and working also. This is the idea behind this 510K.
So mainly, the one, usually we are saying, oh, we should be the first on the market. I don't want to have competitors, etc., on this kind of thing. On that case, you want to have a competitor that already went through this and already is placed on the market. So you can compare yourself to this product and say, yeah, I am the same as this product. So exactly, if this product is on the market, I can be on the market. It's fine for me to be on the market. So this is mainly the idea here.
Yeah. So if you have something new, then you need to go to PMA or the de novo path, which is different, where you have to show that it's clinically working, that it is safe, etc. But if there is a device on market and the risk is not too high, so it's a class two mainly device, then you can show equivalence to go on the market.
Yeah, and I have because I'm also working on some 510Ks, and I know that a lot of people are when they are looking for 510Ks, they hope, oh, I hope there is a predicate device. I hope there is something on the market, like
Yeah, it's usually it's quite faster and not so expensive than
exactly.
a PMA or a de novo.
Exactly. Yeah. To be honest, yeah, true. The de novo fees are really high. I don't know really if there is a great justification for that, but yeah, it's really high in comparison to a 510K. So yeah, it's why I'm saying that some manufacturers are really trying to say, please, let's have
The
let's find a
predicate.
predicate and let's work on that. The US has issued also a guidance on predicate devices recently. I mean, predicate device is not something new. It's something that exists since a long time. So they just re recently issued a guidance on, again, or a revision of their guidance in terms of a predicate device. So is it really difficult, if I can say, to identify a predicate device, or is it something that is really easy for manufacturers?
So, in principle, the way it goes is not so difficult if you know the market a little bit. I mean, you need to find a device that has the same intended use, that is technically the same as what you do. So you need to know what is on the market. But here, already a first database of the US will help you. I mean, you have a lot of databases of the FDA you can use for that. And one is the device listing database. You have a 510K database. And as soon as you know what is your product code or you have a similar product of your competitors, you can go to the database, look what is the product code of your competitor's device, search for others with the same product code, and then you get a list of devices on market. So in principle, it's not so difficult to find one. But then the comparison and make sure that it's working for you, that's a little bit more tricky.
So when to make the comparison here with the other device, should I kind of buy the other device and make a benchmarking with it, or how can I make this comparison? Is it like just external comparison, just product specification
Yeah.
that are publicly available? So what is really the kind of rule to help to make this comparison?
So first, it's definitely not the device itself. So first, you need really to go on the paper, respectively today on the PDFs. You need to start to see, is it the same what you're doing? So it's the same type of device. Is it the same intended indication for use, same patient population, the same way it works, or the same technology? And when you have that, then you get you look more in depth into the 510K summary. So in the database, you have a summary which was made by the manufacturer where he explains what he has done for his 510K. And there you can see what standard has he used. Is this standard still an applicable or a recognized standard of the FDA? And that's something which is new now. I mean, some years ago, you had the possibility to take a 20-year-old 510K cleared device and say I'm equivalent. Now, in this new guidance, they clearly say we expect that it's similar also from what they used. So, if this is a quite old recognized standard they used, it's difficult to get through the 510K clearance now. So you need to look that you have the same standard they are now recognized.
So one thing that is important to understand here is that it's like a pyramid, if I can say. So the first one that was on the market maybe went through a PMA, for example, or through a de novo. Then the second one will compare himself to the first one. The third one will compare himself to the second one, etc. So like,
Etc. Yeah.
it's like this kind of thing. So as you've said, maybe 3 years after, the last one is comparing himself maybe to the first one at the beginning. But if the first one was made 20 years ago, maybe he should go to another one that is more recent and using more the same kind
Yeah.
of standard. So the
That's
idea is
the
also that
target.
is about yeah, there are some new rules now because they find some issues, I think, but for yourself comparing yourself to a product that is really old.
Yeah. I mean, the target is that we show the equivalency to show that it is safe and it's working. and how you can ensure that it is still safe today if you compare to someone that is 20 years old. And that's the reason why they say now, hey, we want to have the current versions of these guidance documents, of the standards, or whatever you're comparing to, used also for the predicate.
So in terms of data mainly, so you are as you've said, everything is public, it's really transparent. So you can go to the database, you can find the product of your competitor, you can open the summary of the 510K. There is inside this table showing the comparison they have made to the other products. So you can use the same table with the same comparative things and say, yes, my product is exactly the same to this one. Yeah. So it can be, if I can say, easy to find those information. The most difficult part is to prove that your device is really the same as the other. It's mainly that. It's only that.
And next to this 510K summary, often it's also not too difficult to get a copy of the user manual of this device. I mean, most of the devices have their user manual in the internet somewhere. And this is also a quite useful source of information about the technology and performance of your predicate device.
So the
but
US...
in the end, it's often that you also need to have one in your office where you can compare the performance. I mean, a lot of things you can compare on paper, but in the end, there are always some details you need to have a look on the device. So my experience is that often you need to have predicate device physically once in your hands.
So the US FDA, when they will receive your data and see your comparison, are they really going deeply in this comparison and really checking everything, or what is exactly? Do you know the process of how they are doing that?
Yeah. So my experience is yes. So the last 510Ks I was working with, they really went quite deep, and it was a ventilator, for example. They really have compared or had a look at the comparison of the ventilation curves. So they really compare these two devices or check your comparison and say whether they agree with your statement in the end that it is substantially equivalent.
And in terms of differences, so for example, if we go to a product and yeah, there is maybe a small deviation or a big deviation, so is it still considered as a predicate device, or I mean, do they have some criteria to say, oh, we can let pass this kind of thing, or we cannot let pass that because of risks or because of some criteria? So is there some criteria that they are accepting to where there will be a gap?
Yeah. So in the end, the first thing you need to do is to show that it is still safe and efficient, this device. And you have two possibilities. I mean, one is you can discuss it, for example, with clinical data. But another possibility is also to have a second predicate device. So if you can find out there is in some special points a difference, but another predicate device is equivalent in this perspective, you can have a second predicate device. But don't take 10. Then it's getting quite difficult to explain the FDA why you need 10.
So
and in order, yeah.
It's So you mean that my product has 10 functions, for example. I find that five of those functions, I find them equivalent to a certain device that is already on the market. But this device doesn't have the all 10 functions. It has only five. So for the five remaining functions, I will find another device that is also on the market and can do that, etc. And then I can compare both of them and say my device is fine because those two devices are on the market and the addition of those two devices is comparable to my device.
Yeah. And if you still have some smaller details, I mean, predicate device needs to be of the same product category. So you need the same product code. If you have small things like I have a data interface on my device, which is not available on the other devices to exchange patient data, for example, then you can also have a reference device, which has another product code or another intended use, but has this minor technical characteristic, then you can also use this as a reference device for smaller deviations or
So we
smaller
have
differences.
predicate device and reference device.
Device.
Can you just maybe
Correct.
Say again, what is the difference between a predicate device and a reference device?
So the predicate device has the same product code. So you can only compare an intensive care ventilator with an intensive care ventilator or a blood pressure measurement device with a blood pressure measurement device. And a reference device is used for smaller details. And there it can be another device. So you could say, I have a blood pressure measuring device that can exchange patient data via an, let's say, HL7 protocol, but the others don't have. But I know there is another medical device, let's say an emergency ventilator, which has this HL7 protocol. So I compare it to this one and say, hey, there are other medical devices on market using the same data protocol, and I also want to use that.
Hey, just a second. Do you need a EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com. Okay, I think it's a great point here because maybe some manufacturers or people that are listening today are maybe blocked sometime because they have no real comparison at the end. So they are saying, okay, how can I do this comparison, because I don't have on the predicate device, I don't have all those features. And maybe one point is also, if I don't have a reference device, then for that, should I go for a clinical investigation or should I go for an additional process then?
I mean, in the end, if we don't have a predicate device, then you would need to go the PMA or the NOVA path. And I mean, what is important in this case? Explain what you need or what you want to do and create a pre-submission. Don't just file a don't just file a PMA. It's too expensive. Just write down what you want to know from the FDA, create a pre-submission. Within some weeks, you get an answer. You can even sit together via video call or telephone call with the FDA and discuss your questions.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
I think it's
really
a
important to use that pre-submission possibility.
Yeah, the Q-sub way. So I will try to have another podcast episode talking specifically about the Q-sub, so the pre-submission. But
perfect.
Yeah, this is a way that is really important to use. So to have, I mean, we have the chance to have that in the US. We don't have that in Europe. So we cannot go to the notified body and say, here is our strategy. Can you confirm that it's a good strategy, etc.? No, they are not doing that. But in the US, you can do that. You can show your strategy to the FDA and they can say to you yes or no. If you add that, you should add that or do that. Mainly, you have to come with a clear strategy or clear question for them. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose this is one way to also help you to identify if this product is really a predicate device, or if your strategy as a predicate device is a good one and it can be working for that.
So even if you find one and you're quite sure that you have your predicate device or predicate devices, whatever, I really recommend check that before you do all this, all the documentation and file it, create a pre-sub, check with the FDA whether they agree with your predicate device, and if yes, do all the work, otherwise you will do it twice.
Yeah, I just want to say that I have actually a customer where we are working for a 510K, and we are trying to convince him to go for the Q-sub for the pre-submission, but he's afraid to say that maybe they will use that against me later or whatever. So they think that there is some kind of thinking. So it's why I wanted to have also another podcast episode talking about that and really explaining what is a Q-sub and how it's working. But yeah, this is,
perfect.
I think,
yeah,
the best strategy for you to go and to try to get some of those elements.
I mean, if you try to hide something, the FDA will find it, and then you have the discussion during the 510K. So I would recommend have the discussion earlier, within the Q-sub, and then you can file the 510K.
Exactly. In terms of, as you had some experience with the 510Ks and with those predicates, so is there any common mistakes or anything that you are always hearing to say, oh, people are always making the same mistake about a predicate device or the 510K submission, etc.?
I think the biggest mistake is what we just discussed, is not doing any pre-submission
Okay.
Just try good luck and hope it works. Another thing we often see is that the patient population is not
Okay.
completely covered. So maybe you have a predicate device that is made for children and adults, and your device should also be for neonates. So you have a small gap in the patient population, and especially if the gap is neonates, the FDA will not accept it. They are two small babies, they want to have that really completely covered. So this is another mistake.
So mainly for neonates, for example, they want you to submit something else to provide some clinical data and prove that it's working.
Or you provide a predicate device that is also cleared for neonates. That's the easiest way. And maybe you need then two, one for the neonates and children, and the other one for the children and adults. And then you need two, but at the end, have a look at the patient population of your device is completely covered by your predicate
Okay.
device to submit.
Now, in terms of predicate device, so I am a manufacturer. I am already registering my device in the US through a 510K. Can I prevent other competitors to use my device for that, or it's impossible for me? I should let them use my device as a predicate device.
Well, in the end, they have access to the database of the FDA. They will find your device, and if it fits, it's not really possible to make it impossible for them.
Okay. We have also the case where because as we talked about 510K is mainly for class 2, sometimes class 1 or class 3, but some differences. We have, as you've said also, the products in the US are about product codes. So the product code is defining mainly how you will have to submit your device through a 510K or not, etc. The thing is that in the US you can change the classification of a product code. Today it is a class 2, and tomorrow it becomes a class 3, and they want to change how the product should be placed on the market. So this is also a possibility that is existing. So in that case, you can maybe start with saying, oh, it's a 510K with a predicate, it's fine. But a few months after, maybe the US changed their process, and then you become a class 3 or class 1, if I can say so.
Or you are still at class 2 device, but get 510K exempt. We already had that it was once a 510K device, and then later it got exempt, but still it's a class 2 device.
Without 510K then.
Without 510K, yeah,
So
because it's
you are
exempt,
lucky. You become lucky then, you say.
Exactly. I
No,
mean,
but it's
if
just
you
to say that
want.
there are some differences. The FDA is not the same as Europe. It's not like rule-based and things like that. It's product code-based. So, and the US can decide per the history of the device, history of the registration they have, etc., to say, okay, let's make it more easy now for this kind of product because we have enough data to say it's fine. Or we had a lot of issues with this product on the market, so then now increase the
Increase
requirements
it.
for this kind of product.
Exactly. And I
So,
mean, the only way if you want to prevent someone using your device is to have something completely new, go the de novo way. And then, I mean, if you go the de novo way, then you show to the FDA or you work together with the FDA in what needs to be presented. And there you can then have your own hurdles made in place for the competitors later.
okay, so yeah, I said here we are more talking about a commercial strategy to avoid mainly try to avoid if there is a way to avoid a competitor to use your data because you have made a lot of efforts to make it on the market. So it's the idea of can we avoid my competitor to use my data to then also make him easier to be on the market also. This is
Yeah,
mainly
but you
the issue.
already make your clearance with another device. So if he's not using yours, you take the one you're using.
Exactly.
So.
It's clear. Okay, no, I think it's clear. Is there anything else that we have missed related to predicate device, or I think we have covered all the topics now?
I think we have covered the main things. One thing that is still open, I think we should mention here is if you have a predicate device before Before you go ahead with it, and especially again before you file your 510K, check the recall database.
Okay.
Because if there is a recall on that device you're using as the predicate, you will get a lot of questions of the FDA. And in minimum, be prepared for these questions. Better have one that has no recall
yeah,
running.
True. I mean, yeah, if there is a recall, maybe there are some problems with the products and maybe
Yeah.
the FDA has more.
The FDA will ask you whether you have the same issues.
Okay.
So try to
Be
get
aware.
one that has no recall. Be aware of that.
Exactly. A last question I had mainly is now mainly Europe and US. So in the US, we are using the term of predicate device. In Europe, we are using the term of equivalent device. And I had sometimes some US companies that are coming to me and say, oh, we have a predicate device, so we can use this device to use the clinical data in Europe, etc. So what can we say about the difference between US and Europe on that?
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Yes, we also have in Europe the possibility of an equivalent device, but only for the clinical data, not for the complete conformity assessment, how we call it here in Europe. So that's the first and main difference. And in the US, you compare or you need a device that has the same indication for use. We in Europe call it the intended use, and it must have the same working principle, let's say it this way. In Europe, they are asking for a clinical equivalence, for a biological equivalence, and a technology equivalence. And there is a guidance document from the MDCG where they clearly say what are they expecting for all the three equivalence points and how you need to demonstrate it. And here, if you don't publish your detailed data of your device, it's much harder for a competitor to copy or to use your data, because in the end, you need to have so many information about this compare or equivalent device that it's quite hard to get that from somewhere else, but only for your older devices where you have all the technical data.
Yeah, as you said, so mainly we talk here about clinical only. So when you are trying to do your clinical evaluation, you can use your own clinical data if you have made a clinical investigation. But if you have not, then they are authorizing you to use an equivalent device. So mainly you use an equivalent device only if this equivalent device has some clinical data. If they have no clinical data, then no need to use
that.
Yeah,
and you need to have access to this data. And this
exactly.
is the main problem.
Exactly.
You need to have access to the clinical data and to the technical data and to the biological data of this device. And usually US and other company don't get the biological information of the product of another company. So it's quite hard to get that way for a competitor's device.
Exactly. So it's just mainly also for our friends in the US when they are coming in Europe. Predicate
It's not the same.
device is not really the same as equivalent device. So there are some more things to consider, as Beat says. So there is the MDCG guidance. From that, I will try maybe to put that on the show notes so that mainly you can review it. But yeah, there is a specific table. And I think for Europe, it's mainly one equivalency. It's not like you can make 10 equivalency devices or whatever. It's mainly one that that should be used principally.
That's the idea.
Exactly. Okay, so great. I think, yeah, we covered all the topic. I hope this helps many people to get all about a predicate device. As I said, I will put on the show notes also the guidance from the US FDA for predicate devices and how to select your predicate device. Beat, now just for the audience, why should they contact you? How can you help them on maybe all this matter here?
Yeah, so we can support the audience with finding the predicate devices. So we have a lot of experience in that. Then creating the comparison, the 510K summary. We can support in creating the documentation needed for the 510K. And often there is also the need to do some adjustments on the device, make something more similar or more equivalent. And also here with our engineering teams, we already helped a lot of manufacturers adopting their devices So also here, IMT has a lot of experience. So if there is a need on your side, please send me an email, give me a call, and we will be here to help.
No problem. I will put all your details anyway on the show notes, so don't hesitate to go to look at the profile of Beat. And also IMT, I will put the website of IMT so that you can have a view of it. Okay, Beat, so it was really a pleasure. Thank you very much for all the information you provided, and I wish you a nice day.
Thank you for the invitation, and also have a nice day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. So if you like this episode, please provide a review on the platform where you are listening to it. And also don't forget to share it with your colleagues. Thank you very much.